God's grace and his peace to you from our risen Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. Our text for today is coming from our epistle reading from Galatians chapter 3, beginning with verse 23 through 4, verse 7. But to begin somewhat to set the stage, have you ever run into somebody? No matter what you say or do, you can never please them. Have you ever run into somebody who always seems to be judging every single word that comes out of your mouth? And should you happen to make one mistake, no matter how long ago, whether it be 10, 20, 30, or even 40 years ago, they will remember it, even to their dying breath. I don't know about you, but we might find these people a little challenging. And the reason why we need to set the stage this way is because, in one essence, we may know lots of people around us that might exhibit a lot of these type of qualities. But I can name one person who actually has one of these qualities, and that's God. Strangely enough, before Christ came, you could do nothing to appease God. Before Christ came, you could not fulfill the law perfectly. Before Christ came, even one little mistake would have sent you to hell for eternity. Before Christ came, even before you were born, you didn't stand a chance. You inherited that sin from Adam and Eve. Paul, here in writing to the Galatians, needs to do a little bit of that comparison and contrast of what the law is and who is Christ. And part of the reason behind that is that the Galatians were struggling with this concept of the law. And so Paul needs to remind them that before Christ came, you're right, the law sort of held us captive. There was nothing we could do to appease God. But then, at the right time, in the fullness of time, God sent forth his Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those under the law. Christ came to fulfill the law. So that relationship now changes. From now being that relationship of saying, no longer whatever I say or do, I can never make so-and-so happy, to now being sons and daughters of God. All this because of Christ. Being born of Mary, under the law, fulfilling the law, going to the cross, dying, paying the price for our sin, so that God the Father's wrath, all his anger, all his frustration, all his, to use a popular term, negative energy, so to speak, was unleashed upon Jesus. So Christ was the Christ, so to speak, bearing the punishment of our sins. So that once God the Father releases all that energy upon Christ, has him crucified, he now looks at us. No longer under the law, but under Christ. And as Paul says, we are now free. God sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, and a new relationship, we are now able to cry, Abba, Father. It's very fitting that the lectionary matches up this text with Father's Day. That yes, we can now go to a loving Father. It's his day because of his Son, Jesus. Paul concludes, so you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then an heir through God. Now, we rejoice in with this gospel message, but before we go too far, strangely enough, our sinful human nature sometimes struggles with this gospel message. Why would we struggle with this complete freedom? Well, the problem is our sinful nature enjoys the slavery. Our sinful nature almost enjoys being under the law, even though we can't fulfill the law. Our sinful nature almost seems to enjoy the struggle we have. And so that's why we need to be reminded of Paul's words. We beg the question, how do sinners come into the church? How do sinners come into God's community? Bottom line, through the grace and merit of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It is His name by which we are saved. Those who are Christians because God has called them by the Holy Spirit. And please notice that God does not call us by our own human efforts. He does not call us because we look good. He doesn't call us because we speak the right language. He doesn't call us because we're good people or we've done the right things. He doesn't even call us into His family because we're members here of Trinity Evangelical Lutheran Church. No, He doesn't completely out of grace, not by you. So Paul says, there is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither slave nor free. There is neither male or female. Now, what Paul is saying here is not that God has done away with all gender or He has done away with all nationalities. No, that's not true, especially today as we do remember Father's Day. But from God's point of view, there are none of these distinctions. You see, us as humans, we make these distinctions, and very too quickly, we want to judge people upon these distinctions. We usually like to judge people about whether, not necessarily whether they're Jew or Greek, but we judge them upon their ethnicity. We judge them upon their language. We judge them upon their socioeconomic background. And do we also not judge people upon their gender? And if they happen to make a mistake against us, then we really judge them. So who do we forgive? Who do we love? Do we pass the test of God through Christ Jesus through baptism? The answer is yes. But what happens when our sinful nature wants to create another test by which people need to pass? How strong is hate in our lives? How soon do we forget the gospel of Matthew chapter 5? But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. Or in the first letter of John, chapter 2, whoever says he is in the light and hates his brother is still in darkness. And from Matthew chapter 5, but I say to you that everyone who is angry with his brother is liable to judgment. Whoever insults his brother will be liable to the council, and whoever says, you fool, will be liable to the hell of fire. And later on in Matthew, so also my heavenly Father will do to every one of you if you do not forgive your brother from your heart. Yes, our sinful nature is strong. We may be free under Christ Jesus because of what Christ has done. We may celebrate that, rejoice in it, but do we live? We sit there and say, we're all one under Christ Jesus, we're all loved, we're all forgiven, but how quickly do we go out in this world and condemn others, hate others, punish others, judge others, are unforgiving toward others? Yes, the same God who does accept you for who you are, because of the person work of Christ Jesus, is the same God that transforms you. Please notice what it says, that you put on Christ. Now, please don't translate that to saying, okay, I'll put on Christ, meaning on Sunday morning when I come to church, I'll put on my Sunday best, and then after a few hours, I want to change and get comfortable again and go back to my old ways. No, putting on Christ is not necessarily referring to our external clothing. but putting on that love and forgiveness, which we want greatly. But now, do we share that love and forgiveness with those around? Our sinful nature says no. Christ says yes. Because from Christ's point of view, he doesn't see a difference. He just sees a bunch of sinners that are now forgiven through him. And so he wants that message of joy, that message of forgiveness, that message of love to extend to all people. But yet the hardness of our heart comes forward and says, no. It says, I want to pass the test, but I want to set up a separate secondary type of tests for other people to come underneath my own judgment, that if they fit my expectations, then they will receive my passing grade, and then I can love them and forgive them. We say, thank you, Jesus, for not doing that to us. Because if that was the case, then God would be the one who would lay down his law upon us and say, there is nothing you can do. He would be the one who would be the unforgiving one. He would be the one to be the judging one, and he would be right. We have sinned. We have fallen short of God's glory. So we come here today in need of God's grace. We come here today in need of that love and forgiveness. Because if we truly look into our hearts, we'll find out that, yes, we have set up different standards for other people. Different standards for our friends, for our family, for our co-workers, for our neighbors. Maybe even for different standards within the church. We may remember people's sins for years, decades, and even longer. So we need to come to be reminded of God's word, of love and forgiveness. Come to receive the very true body and blood that was offered upon the cross, that did suffer and die for the forgiveness of our sins, and that body and blood of Christ changes us. Because Christ is put upon us, put into our mouths, is one with us. And now we reflect that love. Yes, our sinful nature is strong. But even in our gospel reading, it notes who is ultimately stronger. Who was stronger? The man possessed by demons? Was it the demons who were many? Their name was Legion? Or the one Christ? If you were paying attention, you would find the one Christ is much stronger than the many demons. And since Christ is stronger than the many demons and defeated sin, death, and the devil upon the cross, obviously he can help you and me as we struggle with judgmental attitudes and lack of forgiveness. So this day we come before the altar of our Lord seeking Christ, the one who passes the test for us, the one who gives us that forgiveness and forgives us that joy. And we ask the Lord to continue to soften our hearts so that we may reflect that love, that joy, and that forgiveness with those around us. In his name, amen. Now the peace of God that surpasses all our understanding will continue to guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.